This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, Michelle Smallman has been a godsend for Pat Costello on our show, giving him all kinds of life advice. But something has happened here. Pat, as he just said, and I'm over it, he's out on all wine. And CeCe and Smalls are just blown away by this. Smalls, can you help Pat on this? He's out on all wine and cologne in general. So, I mean, you wonder why Pat's at home at night based on these takes here from him.
Pat, securing the right cologne and the right wine, I think, could really improve certain areas of your life. And so I think we need to just workshop this more. Don't give up on cologne and wine, because I think that we will arrive at a place where you find one that works for you in both categories. And maybe, Pat, you haven't had the right type of wine or the right caliber of wine.
Yeah, usually you want the wine in a bottle, not the box.
Correct.
Yeah,
no exactly. Box wine, Pat.
Yeah, and you don't want to buy it from a gas station either, Pat.
No.
That Andre that you're trying to sip on, that ain't it, dog. Mm-hmm. That ain't it. It's not wine. Boone's Farm is not wine, no matter what anybody tries to tell you.
Yeah.
It's not wine.
So, Smalls, can you help Pat with like a makeover, so to speak, whether it's clothing, wine, cologne?
Smalls,
help him out here.
I would love to do that.
Right, so what is your advice? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, we need to have a taste test when it comes to the wine. We need to find out if Pat is a red wine enthusiast, white wine, rosé. Maybe he's into a champagne of sorts. You just need to have one varietal that you really like, Pat, that you can sip on at dinner, or if you're entertaining, that you can pull out and say, hey, let's enjoy this bottle of wine together.
So I've landed on the only ones that I can kind of tolerate are red wines from California for some reason. I don't know why.
You got good taste.
I'm like, I guess this. If I'm forced to, I can do this. But they just don't taste that good. They're just better things to drink.
Have you tried Italian reds, Pat?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to gift you a bottle of my favorite wine. It's called Valpolicella. I give it out to people all the time. CeCe had some of
when we were
in Bristol.
Yep.
It is a beautiful middle of the road, kind of slightly fruit forward red wine from the town I lived in Italy when I studied abroad there back in college. Everybody I've given it to loves it. They put it in their rotation. And I think that you would like it because it's pretty mild and you like reds. And it's a wine that you don't really hear about often. So if you do order it or you do bring it out for company, you will look cool.
All right, so wait, you're going to give him wine. CeCe, will you hook him up with a fragrance from Jo Malone? Will you help him with that? Because you obviously know that.
Absolutely, I got him. I got a couple of fragrances that if he puts them together, if he layers them, then it could set the right vibe. And that's really what we're talking about, Pat. We want to make sure that we set the right vibe for you so you can enjoy certain aspects of your life like Smalls is talking about. And here's the thing, when it comes to the wine bit, like, I'm a fan of whatever wine pairs best with the meal that I'm about to eat, because you haven't really enjoyed a steak unless you had a really nice red to go alongside it. You really don't get the vibe from the pastas and the Italian food without the right white wine to go along with it. So I'm just saying, like, a lot of the times, the wines that I'm drinking, it's because it goes well with the food and it changes the taste. Believe me, brother, it takes it to that next level. And again, we're talking about the vibes here. This is an era of sophistication.
Yes.
That you just haven't acquired yet. You're still in your WWF action figure phase, and we're trying to elevate your game.
By the way, speaking of that, he's producing a show on Saturday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in preview of WrestleMania with Jonathan Zazzles. Want to make sure that is there as well. And Pat, you know, 2/3 of the team have given you their contributions. I am going to provide you with a hoodie and a bomber jacket. I mean, that is very important.
Just brings it all back, down, crashing down.
All right. That's all I can give you. So Smalls has the red wine.
Yeah, I do.
CeCe has the fragrance. Smalls, very quickly, in all seriousness, does he need an outfit redo here? I mean, the your sponsorship here, wearing it out, is maybe not a great idea. Do we need a new wardrobe for Pat? How do you feel about that?
Not great until it gets sponsored.
I would love to go shopping with Pat and maybe pick out some new modern pieces that he could work into his wardrobe. Just some staples. Mostly when I see Pat, it's early in the morning. He's wearing team gear or something comfortable, a hoodie, which I totally understand. But maybe with your new wine and your new cologne, you have a signature scent, a signature drink. Maybe we just develop a signature look as well.
I hate shopping more than anything.
I got you. You don't even
for like clothes and stuff.
You just have to tell me your sizes, and I'm going to tell you what looks good on you and what doesn't. I'm very honest. I'm a good friend to bring along shopping because I don't feel bad if I hurt your feelings, because I would rather I would rather tell you it doesn't look good than let you go out into the world and look bad. That's how I feel. I do it delicately. I'm from the Midwest. I'm not going to say, wow, you look terrible. I'm just going to say, maybe the blazer looks better than the leather jacket. Why don't we explore that? Try some more options. But I do
What's
think,
that supposed to mean?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
Yeah. What the hell?
No, just an example. But I do think, Pat, that with you graduating into this new era of adulthood and sophistication, we could work in a new outfit there, too.
There we go.
All right. The makeover of Pat Costello coming to @OnSportsESPN on social
By the
near
way,
you very soon. Yes.
I picture this unfolding like She's All That. Like, we give Pat the makeover, and then he walks down the stairs.
Yes. Yes.
And we ooh and ah over the transformation. That's how I'm envisioning it right now.
Ah, what a movie. Freddie Prinze Jr., what a great movie that is. It's tremendous. All right, time now for a little Book It.
Wow, okay.
Oh, it's a great movie. You don't think that She's All That is a great movie?
Well, I get it. You said it four times in a row. It's such a great movie. I understand.
It is. Oh, my God. The makeover movie where one person takes the other person, makes them into something, and then they become, you know, the class king or queen of the prom. Oh,
That's
God.
That's every teeny bopper movie of the
You're
early
2000s. You're damn right it is.
You're acting
and
like
I'll
it's
watch
the
every
Godfather.
One of them.
Yeah, correct.
I'll watch every one of them. You watch Smalls. Have you seen She's All That? Yes. Have you seen He's All That with Addison Rae? Probably yes.
No,
right?
Definitely not.
Well,
I'm not really into the remakes.
Yeah, you kind of telling on yourself, big dog.
Let the classics lie. Yeah, you know?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's the greatest teeny bopper. It's one of the greatest teeny bopper movies.
Speaking of remakes, it's got me thinking about movies. Happy birthday, Eddie Murphy. It's Eddie Murphy's birthday,
oh,
right?
Oh, it is. Happy birthday, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie, yeah. How old is Eddie Murphy? Do we have that number?
63, I believe.
63 years old. Okay.
All right, I mean, favorite Eddie movie?
Favorite Eddie movie, I'd have to say Beverly Hills Cop, right?
More than Coming to America?
Oh, yeah, I can't believe I can't.
I mean, that's your movie.
Yeah, Coming
you
to America.
That.
Yeah, Coming to America is the best one.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, after Coming to America.
Okay.
Like, that has to be everybody's favorite.
Like, that's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's like Michael Jordan is like, who's the next one after that? I would say Beverly Hills Cop. The only reason it was top of mind because it came on yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that if I'm flipping channels, I got to turn it to it and watch it. Beverly Hills Cop after Eddie Murphy, my favorite Eddie Murphy movie.
Surprisingly, I'm going to put Shrek number two.
Shrek?
Eddie Murphy as the donkey? Classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you look at Eddie Murphy more acting or comedian, like stand-up-wise? Because people say he's one of the greatest stand-ups of all time.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, there's very few like that are even close to him in that regard.
Yeah, to be that funny wearing leather pants and Eddie Murphy raw, I mean, it's just incredible. Like
red leather, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, red leather.
That's a choice. That's a choice. Yeah, I mean, Eddie Murphy is...
Pat, don't try that. Don't try
that. No, I want Pat in red leather pants.
At the Candy Kickback. Yes, yes.
Pat,
yes.
You were the number one pick in Candy's draft. Yes. So in order for you to have the full-fledged Smalls makeover, it goes along with red Eddie Murphy pants, leather pants, that you have to wear to Candy's party.
I'm going
to
go ahead and hold out.
I will pay good money to have a custom red leather suit or red leather pants made for Pat Costello if he would wear them to the Canny Kickback. And Pat, you know how cheap I am. So the fact that I'm willing to pay for this just tells you how much I want to see this happen. I'm willing to pay good money for this.
I think you're the only person that wants that.
No, I want to see it.
No, I think everybody on the show wants
definitely.
This. Everybody wants this. Give the people what they want, Pat. Don't fight it. Let it happen.
Okay.
There it is.
Done.
He's in.
Done.
Done.
All right, we are in with La Quinta by Wyndham. Book It is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, so for some reason, we're in the business now of just writing teams off. Yesterday, we wrote off NFL teams, and today we're going to do it with NBA teams. We're going to book it. Which team are you sure will be bounced early in the playoffs? CC, start with you. Which team are you sure in the NBA is going to be bounced early in the playoffs that you can book it right now? Brought to us by La Quinta.
The Phoenix Suns. How can you believe in the Phoenix Suns right now? I don't know. I mean, they're in the midst of a tough 10-game stretch, the toughest 10-game stretch that any team has had this season. And I get it. Devin Booker dropped 37 a couple of nights ago. That's all well and good. But the Phoenix Suns, they don't play any defense. They can't stop anybody. And their offense, especially in the fourth quarter, is the worst in the entire NBA. I'm sorry, when you get to the postseason, you're going to have to be good in clutch time. And the Phoenix Suns are anything but. So, yeah, I'm fading the Phoenix Suns no matter who they draw in the first round. That's even if they get to the playoffs.
Smalls.
Mine might be a little surprising, guys, but I am losing faith quickly in the Milwaukee Bucks. The fact that the defense has not improved, the fact that at this stage of the season, Doc Rivers is calling out his team publicly, saying road trips, they're lacking a certain level of professionalism. None of that leads me to have the confidence needed in them to make a deep run into the playoffs. While they have a lot of talent, and I never want to count Giannis out, I would not be shocked if the Milwaukee Bucks are bounced early.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a team that reminds me of a team last year with the Sacramento Kings, where all of a sudden they got really good, a high seed, but they still lost early in the NBA playoffs. Sorry to our buddy Kevin Clark, NFL, here on ESPN, Orlando Magic.
Oh.
I mean, the Orlando Magic have been an unbelievable story. Jamal Mosley arguably should win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he's done a great job.
But they're not going to win a series, are they? Like, this is still a great step. They're not winning a series. I was tempted to go with the Cavs, but if the Cavs play the Pacers in the first round, I could still see them winning. But, like, you're losing faith in Milwaukee, and CeCe's losing faith in Phoenix. I'm kind of losing faith in the Cavs, but I guess I'll give you the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. With the Magic, if they play the Knicks, which is what their first round series would be, because that's the 4-5 matchup, if they play the Knicks, they've got home court advantage. The Knicks might not have Julius Randle or Mitchell Robinson. With the front court of Banchero and Wagner, why couldn't the Magic win that series again?
Well, I mean, Robinson's back. It's OG. If they don't have OG...
Well, Robinson's got the ankle now.
Yeah, I mean, he played last night, but wasn't... I mean, if you really could see the Knicks losing to the Magic, CeCe?
Yes. Yes.
Oof. Well, then you just gave another one. Then we could book it that maybe the Knicks would be bounced early.
It could
happen. That would be, and I know injury-based, obviously, but that would be a thud to end the season, would it not be, considering how good this season had been for the Knicks?
Yeah.
Wow. I think that is an unintentional bold statement that you just made. That you could see the New York Knicks in the first round of the NBA playoffs losing to the Orlando Magic.
Maybe they come up off some of them draft picks that they've been stockpiling the last couple of years and go out and get another star. Just saying.
We've had a lot of spotlight on Pat so far this segment. We need to get to Nuno as a Knicks fan. How do you take that one in? CeCe just picked the Magic over your squad in the first round if this is to continue with these injuries.
I mean, this is what I was saying yesterday in terms of I'm preparing myself for this to not end well based upon it doesn't sound like Randall's going to come back. OG's probably not going to come back. So this is the squad they have, and they put in a lot of minutes. And I just don't know if they probably – I don't know if they even have enough to win a first-round matchup unless they play the Cavs. Well, you know, because they own them.
No, I mean, that's the reality of where the Knicks are at.
Now, Jalen
Brunson
statement.
Was Eastern Conference Player of the Month. The dude is averaging 29 points a game last month of basketball, but I just –
And he gets no calls, so like, you're going to get me started. He gets no calls from the – I know that people are trying to be like, oh, he goes – Wendy
says – He pushes
said
off
it,
on
he,
every play.
Oh, sorry. Oh, excuse me. Like that Wendy says he goes foul hunting. But so does a lot of other guys, and they actually get those calls. He gets none of these calls. So it is what it is. And, you know, maybe they will make some trades.
It is what it is.
He's resigning himself to the disappointment that's going to happen early on.
The Yankees are 5-1. Yeah. Let's go.
You know what, CeCe? Whether you meant to do that or not, I'm glad it ended where it did with Nuno's misery on. It is what it is around the Knicks. Oy, yi, yi. Book it by La Quinta, of course, by Wyndham. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We're going to have to check Nuno in. We're going to have to check Nuno into La Quinta right now.
It is what it is, the New York Knicks.
Coming up, $12.3 million. Why is that number important? We'll explain next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Iowa LSU, one of the games of the year in all sports and one of the most watched games we've seen in a long time. 12.3 million viewers watched on Monday night on ESPN. It is the most watched women's basketball game on record. It outdrew every NBA game last year besides Game 5 of the Finals. Every Major League Baseball game all season, including the World Series, and every NCAA football game last year, besides the college football playoffs, Michigan, Ohio State, and the SEC title game. Absolutely remarkable. Smalls, what do those numbers mean to you, the 12.3 million viewers?
This is transformational. Those numbers are transformational. We knew that the women's game was garnering more and more interest, but to think that an Elite Eight matchup not only blew out of the water the national championship numbers from last year in the women's game, but that it's beating World Series games, college football games, NBA games. This is just a concrete data point about how important women's basketball at the collegiate level has become in our sports hierarchy and what we are interested in as sports fans. And while so much of the credit goes to Caitlin Clark because we have been in awe of her and we've been emotionally invested in watching her greatness and her journey this season, make no mistake about it. This was because it was Iowa LSU. This was because it was a rivalry game, a rematch of last year's national title game. And it's that versus that I think is really important. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. So many times in sports, that's what we tune into, the rivalries. That's what gets us because we feel like we can take a side. We're Team Angel Reese or we're Team Caitlin Clark. And I just hope that that translates at the WNBA level when both of these women advance on.
What the numbers tell me is that the women's game is poised to usurp men's college basketball. That's what it feels like because we have an affinity toward the stars in women's college basketball, and that's due in part to the character development because we've seen them year over year with the men's game, the premier talents. Those guys are usually one and done. But with these ladies, they're sticking around 2, 3, 4 years. And so we have an opportunity to get to know them, to see their personalities on display. And because we've seen this rivalry develop between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, it has now gotten to the point where they individually have started to transcend the sport. They are two of the biggest stars in the country, not just in sports. They're household names. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Travis Scott tweeting Monday before the game tips off about how he wants to be in Do Not Disturb because he wants to lock in. I mean, think about it.
And he's going to the games.
When you are viewed as a star amongst other stars, that matters. And so I think where we're at now, based on the numbers that Ev just reported, is that Caitlin Clark is transcended. Angel Reese is on the verge of being transcended. And I have no doubt in my mind that that following, if those two choose to go to the WNBA, is going to follow them. This has a chance. This rivalry has a chance, Smalls, of, you know, revitalizing the WNBA in the way that we saw Magic and Larry Bird with their rivalry from the collegiate ranks do for the NBA in the early 80s. So I'm excited to see what's next for both of them. But I think it's a huge boon for college basketball, for the WNBA, and for women's sports as a whole. And both of these athletes are aware of that, which takes it to the next level.
So we think that this is going to catapult the WNBA more than it's going to catapult women's college basketball? Or do we think it's going to do both or one or the other? How are we looking at this now moving forward?
It's hand and glove. I think the two are inextricably linked. I think women's college basketball is going to become the incubator for the WNBA. In the same way that we saw with the NFL and college football in the 80s, right? I mean, think about it. When we go to the 80s and early 90s, the NFL wasn't king when it came to North American team sports. That was baseball. That was the NBA. But we saw a lot of these college football dynasties. When you look at Miami in the 80s, when you look at the Notre Dame in the 80s, Oklahoma in the 80s, Nebraska early 90s, when you look at those programs and how we started following the characters in those programs, and then when they made the leap to the NFL, we became invested in continuing to watch them. Like, we remember Michael Irvin at the U, and then we remember Michael Irvin with the 90s Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely.
And that was huge in terms of raising the NFL's profile. I think what we're seeing with this generation of women's college basketball player, they have an opportunity to do that for the professional ranks when it comes to women's basketball. And that is exciting that we're on the precipice of that.
Yeah, we're going to definitely see some reverb from what is happening in collegiate women's basketball into the WNBA. And that's proven because people have gone out of their way to find the product. They've gone out of their way to be locked in on the television side. They've gone out of their way to buy tickets at high clips to see these women, specifically Caitlin Clark. And if you're that invested now, why wouldn't that carry over? Why wouldn't there be a ripple effect? There's no way that if you're that emotionally invested in watching Caitlin Clark's greatness, that it's going to die on the vine once she gets to the WNBA mm-hmm. level. People are going to tune in to watch her. And if Angel Reese goes, or when Angel Reese goes to the WNBA, people are going to tune in to see that versus. You brought up Magic and Larry Bird. I always think about what saved baseball. It's the versus. It was Mark McGwire versus Sammy Sosa yep. in the home run chase. We love rivalries in sports, whether it's team rivalries or individual rivalries. And I have no doubt in my mind that Caitlin Clark v. Angel Reese will be a marquee matchup in the WNBA anytime it happens.
So here's the difference, though, between the NBA, NFL, and WNBA right now is that when we had these elite college players, you bring up Michael Irvin and the U in the 80s, all of those student athletes at that time were racing to the NFL. They're basically asking, how quickly can I get there while still dominating in college? That's the difference now, is that I don't know that these women are trying to race to the WNBA, because we need the WNBA to be more of an attractive destination for these women by raising the salaries. Now, how do you raise the salaries? By raising the amount of total basketball income that comes in. How does that happen? You have megastars, right, like Caitlin Clark. So her being there is going to raise so many things that the generations of athletes after her, their salaries are going to go up just because of her presence. CeCe, you keep saying there's no qualifier, and I mean this in a good way. You don't need a qualifier around Caitlin Clark. She's not a star in women's basketball. No. She's a star. And when you have that level of star, it raises everything else, which is amazing. And that's where we actually have this crazy potential crossroads now, where maybe she's able to raise both the WNBA and women's college basketball simultaneously.
Yeah, like, cosign, retweet.
No doubt.
I hope that's the case. I still don't. I don't understand why in the world Angel Reese has to decide today if she's
that's
going
ridiculous.
To
yeah, that's
like
tough.
Why
that's
she
tough.
She has
season,
no she has no room to breathe.
Hours ago. Yeah, that's
I
tough.
Mean, my
that's,
God,
that's not easy. That's not easy.
Push that back. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your telephone number to be a part of the show. The 12.3 million viewers, Iowa-LSU, that's going to raise the stakes more so for the WNBA or for women's college basketball moving forward. We'll get your phone calls in on that. Plus, who is the next quarterback paid in the NFL? Adam Schefter gave us an interesting answer to that question. We will get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are going to get into the next big QB contract that may be a little surprising as to who it could be for coming up. But first, some of your phone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN on what has become the biggest story in sports over the last few days, which is awesome, and that is women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark, also the future of women's basketball, which has two different league sports, however you want to look at it, tied into this. Women's college basketball and the WNBA, both hopefully thriving as a result of the star power that we have seen in these sports. Brian in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM80. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Certified girl dad times two. So obviously thrilled to see so much positivity around women's sports, which is amazing. I think the greater impact likely comes at the college game. I've got two reasons. One, obviously the advancement in NIL just makes it such a game changer for these ladies at these high-profile universities to earn and really to make something happen. And then two, the passion and the loyalty in which the fan bases turn out for those schools. I don't know we've seen that duplicated in the WNBA yet, and I know it'll happen in her first season there, but I just wonder about the long-term loyalty factor as it relates to the teams in the WNBA. So I'm hoping that's something that can improve in the future, too.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, like, because I think we need to see the spike with Indiana of the WNBA, their ticket sales, their merch sales. Like, we need to constantly get these reports, hopefully, which we will, about Caitlin Clark bringing up, because that's the team with the first pick in the WNBA draft, bringing up the value of that franchise, which I think we're going to see, right? Wouldn't you assume that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see it too. And I guess the question now becomes, do the NIL sponsors that Caitlin Clark has at the collegiate level follow her to the WNBA? Do they get the same bang for their buck when it comes to the players' overall visibility? Mm-hmm. Because that's what they're after in terms of being able to associate themselves with the Caitlin Clark brand. So I'm curious to know how that all works out, how that all plays. But I think the growth of the WNBA is evident, though. I mean, we saw the super teams last year between the Aces and the Liberty. Like, as you have more of that, it's going to bring more intrigue in the sport. We already got stars in the WNBA, but now we're adding a different level of star power with Caitlin Clark coming in after what she's done collegiately with Iowa and how they've been able to go on these deep runs in the NCAA tournament.
And I would imagine that the WNBA and specifically Indiana, if they do in fact draft her, have a plan, or they're developing plans in place to really capitalize on the marketing of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
This is such a unique opportunity to jump on this momentum that she has generated. And I can't imagine that the powers that be within Indiana and the WNBA as a whole are not having serious discussions about how do we make sure that we are marketing her and pushing out opportunities for people to watch her, come see her constantly, because that's half the battle, right? Is keeping that momentum going and making it easy for people to find a way to continue to consume the product, specifically the Caitlin Clark product.
I'll tell you one thing I would do if I'm them. As soon as the women's college season is over, if I'm the WNBA, I am talking to the head honchos here at ESPN, and I'm doing everything in my power to get her into the studio for the NBA playoffs. Like, I can't have her, like, not be front and center at all times. She's so big and she's so interesting that having her comment on anything basketball related becomes, like, I need her all over the place. That's what's going to raise the profile for the sport. She may not want to do it because she may be like, no, I'm getting ready for my season. I need to train 24/7. I just would want her front and center as much as possible. Mike in Alabama listening on Sirius. Oh, wait, go ahead, CeCe. Sorry, before Mike. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we're approaching three decades of the WNBA, right? The first season was 27 years ago. I mean, this might be one of the most important off seasons that the WNBA has ever had. I mean, just in terms of what's going on, this might be even more important than when they renegotiated their CBA back in 2020. Like, this is one of the most important off seasons in league history because of the influx of talent that the WNBA is about to see and the stars that are already ready made. Like, they have to get this right, to your point, Ev. They absolutely have to.
Mike in Alabama listening on Sirius XM80. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, how are you? CeCe, Happy New Year. Moving on. Anyway,
haven't had that in a while.
In comparison to college versus WNBA, to me, it's a college no-brainer, because when you think back, it's like Becky Hammon gets $1 million, nobody's watching. Sabrina Ionescu, big name college, goes pro. I haven't heard much ever since. It's all Caitlin Clark. It's all Angel Reese. It's all these college players. I feel like the WNBA has had several chances to try and push through to that next level, and they're not fully taking advantage of it. You know, I think one thing that could help them is fix the playoffs. Do more of a March Madness-style playoff or something, larger scale. The competitive level at college is, you know, just more enjoyable to watch in that March Madness bracket.
Mike, let me put your feet to the fire on this one, because this is where it gets interesting. So if you're saying, okay, this is going to help women's college basketball more, are you ready to state that it is a mistake for Caitlin Clark, who technically has a year left of eligibility if she so chose, to go to the WNBA? Would you advise her, if Mike in Alabama was her agent, to stay at Iowa?
100%. I mean, same thing with Angel Reese. There's endorsements that are available to pro players, but their level of desirability right now is so high. Why risk it for $70,000-$80,000 a year at the pro level when you can just get 5-6 more endorsements your senior year? It's not even a question to me. If I were Angel Reese, this wouldn't be a debate. I'm staying. If I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm either taking the big three deal, or I'm staying. And if I'm in the WNBA and I'm trying to prove a point, I'm going overseas making more money, and I'm not coming back until the WNBA puts their money where their mouth is and changes it up, makes it more exciting, gives the players more money, take themselves seriously, and then maybe we as a fan base will take them seriously.
Very interesting call. Very well prepped on that call. Good, interesting responses. See, you both are saying, no, this is going to help the WNBA, so there's no follow-up on that. Those who are saying this is going to help college basketball would then, guys, also have to say, then Caitlin Clark shouldn't go to the WNBA, right?
Yeah, but who's to say that those endorsements, those sponsors, aren't going to follow Caitlin Clark from Iowa to the WNBA?
They will.
That's the part of his argument that doesn't make sense to me.
CeCe, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to pose this question. Why would a brand stop their partnership with Caitlin Clark now?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That makes no sense.
After $12.3 million, we're good.
Yeah, like that makes no sense. And I get it, what he's saying. It's just the WNBA, from a business standpoint, hasn't evolved or grown at the rate that we would like to see in terms of being able to have equity when it comes to what the women get paid at the professional level versus the men. But we got to think about this. The NBA has been around 3 times as long. Like, give this some time. Let this thing bake a little bit. The WNBA is coming when it comes to their business model and their financials. It's coming. It's going to take time, and it's going to take stars like Caitlin Clark. And here's the other part to answer his question. You know why you leave college to go to the WNBA? It's because you want to play against the best competition. And that's where we're getting to. The best female basketball players in the world are assembled in the WNBA. That's where it's at. Like, if you're a competitor worth your salt, you want to play against the best to prove yourself. And it's not to prove something to everybody else. It's to prove something to yourself. So that's why Caitlin Clark wants to make the jump and leave Iowa, even though she has an extra year of eligibility left.
Maybe the greatest name in radio caller history right now. Airline Food in Virginia. Airline Food, how are you?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Now, and that's your way, real name, I assume?
Yeah. So when I played basketball, I was nasty in the air, so I got that name called Airline Food.
That's a great nickname.
Anyway, so this is a great topic. First of all, I did not know that there was 12.3 million viewers, but what I did know was what every other basketball fan knew, that was great basketball. Caitlin Clark is a superstar. All right, so let's talk about it where everybody's not saying. There was a racial component to that game. Yeah, it was a rivalry game, but there was a racial component to it. And if you think that was big, wait until you see Iowa versus South Carolina. That is going to be even bigger. And I think that the last caller before made an excellent point. You don't go to the WNBA to get rich, all right, because you're making more money in college. It makes sense to stay in college. I think the WNBA needs to sell that. You come here because you love the game and you want to play. And that is a different story. I think there needs to be a rebranding because I'm a girl dad. My daughter plays basketball. I have never seen such passionate players. And she's only in the eighth grade, but she's in the mix of everything right now. But I will tell you, this is an outstanding storyline for basketball itself, and all basketball fans are winning. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, airline food. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Great name, great call.
great call.
Listen, there are so many components to this. At its core, it's women playing great basketball. Right? I mean, like, that's what it is, and all of us consuming it and watching it. His name is Airline Food. That's what somebody called. I can't even have it. He had such a serious call, but his name is Airline Food.
But he had a good reason why.
Great reason why. Great reason
why.
I get it, but he called into a national radio and TV show saying, I'm Airline Food in Virginia. All right, coming up, we will pay off what Adam Schefter had to say, because trust me, it's interesting. The next QB paid in the NFL, it's not who you think, per Schefty. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, before we get to the next QB paid, the great airline food in Virginia. That's a person, not a thing. I mean, it's also a thing, I guess I should say. Airline and food in Virginia brought up some interesting topics relative to Caitlin Clark just moments ago, guys. And we want to make sure we react to that in terms of how the world looks at her, values her, ranks her, et cetera. Cece, how did you take that take by airline food? And I can't even
well,
say it with a straight
face. I'm not sure it was just about Caitlin Clark as much as it was about the dynamic that we saw play out in Monday night's matchup between LSU and Iowa. And he brought up the fact that there was a racial component to it. And I think at the crux of it, when it comes to high-level sports, there's a level of tribalism involved, and we're all going to side with the athletes that we can identify with, the athletes that we can see ourselves in. Representation matters, as you always say, Smalls, and I think there's a part of that when it comes to our sports fandom that we want to connect with the athletes that may look like us, the athletes that come from a similar background, the athlete that might be viewed as the underdog, the athlete that might be viewed as a villain. However that falls, I think there's that aspect of it. And so certainly when it comes to the racial component, that is obvious, that is evident. But I think what makes it fun, what makes it drama-filled, what makes it good theater, what makes it great entertainment is that the two rivals have that respect for one another. So even though they want to cut each other's hearts out in that game, you know that there is that underlying respect level that they have for one another in terms of how they go about their business.
Absolutely. And I, quite frankly, have not loved how Angel Reese has been treated on social media, et cetera, throughout all of this. And alongside the racial component, I do still think that women are being treated differently when it comes to the trash talk. A lot of people did not like the way that she did the Caitlin Clark last year, and they wanted to hold that against her. I don't remember Robert Quinn being vilified when he did the discount double check after he sacked Aaron Rodgers. We see that stuff all the time in men's sports, and we don't see people get vilified to the level that Angel Reese was. And unfortunately, she's had to absorb that. But simultaneously, I think it has been a huge component for why we've seen this growth, because it is a polarizing thing. And so it's hard to kind of make sense of all of that or absolve all of that. But to your point, people are identifying one way or the other, and they are emotionally invested in these women because they are identifying it, or their play and this rivalry has been emotive for people in so many ways. And we connect to that and we become invested in it. And while I do think that Angel Reese was probably improperly vilified for her taunting of Caitlin Clark in so many ways, I do think it also contributed to the reason why so many people are invested in this rivalry and now invested in the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, here's the thing. I think she was unfairly treated in terms of people vilifying her. Where I will push back is that you can't then, as the athlete, embrace the villain role and then get up to the podium and start crying because you lost. You can't do that. You got to own that. Like, if you're going to be the villain, then be the villain. Like, if you're going to be Marcus Smart, then go out there and be Marcus Smart. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be Draymond, be Draymond. But you can't then embrace the villain and say, well, yeah, if that makes me the villain, I'm fine. I'll be that, but I know I'm helping to grow the game. That's cool. Like, you can't embrace the villain role and then, you know, emote the way that you did and want sympathy from us. That's just not how it works. But I think treating her in that way, in terms of her reaction post-game after she lost to Caitlin Clark in Iowa, I think in a strange way makes it equitable in terms of how we look at the athletes in high-level sports. So I do think it's unfair that we got to this place where Angel Reese is framed as the villain, but I do think it's okay to call her out for embracing that villain role and then not acting like the villain after she lost.
Yeah, I don't
know. We're not sportsmen. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that one's a little tough for me because I hear you. You can't use that as part of your branding.
You can't be a villain and a victim.
But I think that there is some truth in what she said about being a human being. When she did that last year, she was just in the moment, on the court, thinking about the fact that she was winning that battle, right? Mm-hmm. And she came out and said, off the court, we have mad respect for each other. This is literally in the heat of competition where this rivalry is existing. And I think she has the self-awareness to realize that her being villainized in this role is bringing a lot of eyeballs to the sport. And it's beneficial to her from a monetary standpoint to have all of these people be invested in her and invested in the game. But I also think there's so much truth in the fact that she is a human being. And just because in that moment you recognize that this is the way that you're being portrayed and that this is by leaning into that, it's going to be beneficial for you and for the sport. That doesn't mean that it doesn't affect her on a human level to hear all these people, quite frankly, probably mischaracterize who she is and what their relationship is. And as a young woman who's still in college, that has to be a lot to process and deal with. And I do have empathy for her in that situation.
We are on Sportsman Night, presented by Progressive Insurance, here on ESPN Radio and ESPNU, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, with you. A lot more to do, obviously, on women's college basketball and the Final Four coming up this weekend, Friday, on ESPN from Cleveland, Ohio. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, joined us yesterday, and we had the discussion about the next QB paid in the NFL, who gets that next big contract, and that player becomes the highest paid player in the sport. He gave an interesting answer as to who that may be.
At some point this offseason, before training camp begins, there are people around the league who believe that Jordan Love will get extended. So maybe he's next. But I would say, how about this? The quarterback will come from the NFC North, and we'll see how that shakes out.
The next big QB extension coming from the NFC North, which would mean one of, or maybe both, Jordan Love and Jared Goff. That was an interesting one, considering Dak Prescott is a pending free agent. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence is someone that is up for a new big deal. What do we think about Jordan Love potentially being the next big QB paid?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, think about it. You have a really young roster. Who are you paying if you're the Green Bay Packers? I mean, you've probably got big money invested in Jair Alexander, but that's about it. Kenny Clark is getting his bag, but, I mean, that's it. So why not give Jordan Love a top-of-the-market deal? I think you've seen proof of concept. You got everything you needed to have yet last year. He was second in passing touchdowns. He's top 10 in QB top 10 in QBR, I believe. So, I mean, this is a guy that has shown that he can produce at a really high level. Unless we not forget, in the postseason, this guy was at his best when his best was required. Now, he didn't cover himself in glory in that fourth quarter in San Francisco, but that was the divisional round game after he smoked the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry's World.
Right.
So I think you've seen enough, and I would like to allow Jordan Love to take ownership of this team and continue to grow that relationship that he has with that receiving core, and most importantly, with head coach Matt LaFleur. Let's remember, this is Matt LaFleur's guy. Like him and Brian Gutekunst decided to draft this guy knowing the potential rift that it would create with Aaron Rodgers, and they did so because they had conviction that Jordan Love could do what we saw him do at the end of last year. In the second half of the regular season, he was best quarterback in the NFL. You got the numbers to back it up. Why would you want to interrupt that by haggling over a couple of dollars this summer? Go ahead and get the contract done now as opposed to later, because you know with each passing quarterback deal, that number just gets more expensive.
Yeah, why delay the inevitable? Just get it done, know what the numbers are going to be, and then be able to correctly build around Jordan Love or continue to build around Jordan Love. He has proven that he's the guy, and if I'm the Packers, I don't want to waste any time. I want to make sure and get the deal done as quickly as possible.
So no part of you guys very quickly would wait until after this season to get another year under his belt to be 100% sure?
Yeah, go ahead and pay him. Go ahead and pay him now.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.